We are recording the show episode 11, airing February 22nd, the show about the significance of trials. Hello, Autumn Miles here with you. Welcome to the Autumn Miles Show today. I am so glad that you have come back with us. I'm telling you what, I'm having a ball. I've already heard from so many of you guys out there, and I'm just, number one, so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you're listening. I'm so thankful that you're liking what you're hearing. I'm just really thankful to the Lord just for this opportunity. You know, today we are going to talk about trials. I hate trials. That's just kind of how I feel about trials. Ugh. And it might be what you are feeling today as well. Before we get into the content today, I want to just say, connect with us. I want to hear from you. You know, we're all over the place. We're on our Instagram. We're on the Facebook. We're on Twitter. And that is part of the engaging culture. You know, culture is on social media these days. That is where people live. And we want to engage with you. I want to know your story. I want to know you. I would absolutely love to meet you. So engage with us. Autumn Miles, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, the whole nine yards. You can check us out at autumnmiles.com. Okay, commercial's over. Significance of trials. You know, in my book, we talk about trials. Trials are something that, you know, at a young age, I had really experienced significant trials. And it was one of those things where, you know, I was thinking at such a young age, here I am divorced by the age of 22. That is very difficult. And we'll talk about how the church handled my divorce in a future show. But, the whole church and the way they handled my divorce was such an enormous trial, not only for me, but for my entire family. My father was the pastor of the church that I attended at the time. But I remember thinking at 21 years old, what is happening? Here I am divorced. Here I've been abused for multiple years. Here I'm about to get kicked out of my church, which eventually did happen. And I remember thinking, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of these severe trials? You know, one of the things about trials is that it doesn't discriminate on who they descend. Okay. If you are a Christian, 100% of you will face trials, and even non-Christians do, but we know that we are facing a lot of the trials in Christians' lives are brought about by satanic attack in some form. And God allows those to happen in our life to strengthen us, to better us. But I just want to tell you, my trials, no matter what you're facing today, your trials, I hope you can say this about the trials that you are facing or have faced, but I know my trials, I can say a lot of them today, I am thankful for them. Because my trials and the things that I've been through literally have paved the way for purpose, for ministry. I remember when I came out of my divorce, I was so broken. But also, it's like it engaged something in me where I needed to share with other women that had been through an abusive situation. I needed to share with them so I could tell them, listen, you can come through this. You don't have to end your life. You don't have to put up with this. You can come through this. And once I started ministering because of my trials, I found so much purpose in my trials. And I don't know, maybe I know that's for someone out there today who's listening. Listen, you are in one of three places. when it comes to trials. One, you just went through a trial. Number two, you are directly in the middle of a raging trial. Or number three, you're about to go into a trial. And I know it's that is not really encouraging. However, I want to talk a little bit about your perspective of the trial. Like I said earlier, if you look at a trial like doom and gloom, and I'm not going to get through this, and you live defeated, well, then you're not going to see the purpose in the trial that you are going through. Spiritual education is formed in the midst, directly in the midst of a trial. I remember, and still to this day, you know, trials are not over. I'm going to talk about the ones that I've come through, been healed through, and God has used today. But I remember thinking in the midst of some of the things that I have gone through, why am I going through this? This is so hard. And now looking back on the things that I have come through, and this is a very common mentality for Christians that have overcome. You know, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. But once I, now that I can look back in hindsight and see why I went through the things that I went through at such an early age, I absolutely can see the spiritual education that I learned during the process. When I leaned into the Lord rather than leaning to myself, when I leaned into His power and His adequacy and His capability rather than leaning into my strength. You know, the trials were so severe, such as the divorce and the church and getting kicked out and all of those things, that there were days that it pushed me to rely 100% on the Lord. My spiritual education was beginning to be formed during that time. And you know, it also, when you go through a trial, it pushes you away from being stale. If you lean on the Lord, it pushes you away from a life of complacency. You know, God does not want us to be complacent. What does He say to the church of Laodicea in Revelation? He said, "You're neither hot or cold. So I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." They were a complacent church. And He was so disgusted by the fact that they were complacent that it literally made Him want to vomit. It made Him want to spit the church out of His mouth. Complacency is absolutely never somewhere where we want to find ourselves as Christians. We want to push past any temptation of complacency. And sometimes the Lord allows us to do that by allowing a trial in our lives. And I believe that the spiritual education is so much more important than even a college education. And I'm probably going to get some feedback on this, you know, and it doesn't really matter, because the wisdom gleaned from overcoming a trial prepares you for, you know, real life. I mean, real life. I don't want to talk in any Christianese anything. I want to talk in, you know, hashtag real life out there. When you champion a trial, God prepares you for something, some sort of tidbit of wisdom that you're going to need further in your life. The spiritual education is so important. Now, college education is absolutely important. You know, I went to college. It's amazing. But you will grow so much more by a trial than you can by a class. And, you know, that's definitely my opinion over here. Trials are definitely not fun. However, I want you to watch and see what is the perspective of the trial that is in, what is your perspective on the trial that you are going through right now? Do you have that mindset? Listen, this is preparing me for something. Listen, I am gaining a spiritual education right now. Or are you walking around with doom and gloom. There's no reason to doom and gloom in your mind. There's no reason to do that, because if you are a believer in Christ today, you have the power of God that is backing you. Okay, let's get to some text here. Trials are to be expected, like I've said multiple times, and you can't know the depth of your faith sometimes without the measuring stick of a trial. And, you know, one of the things, you know, people, I find that people are sort of surprised when trials come. You know, I'm serving the Lord. You know, I'm at church. I'm helping out with the nursery. I'm watching those babies, and I'm doing it all for the glory of the Lord. And then, you know, illness strikes, or, you know, you get laid off at work, or maybe your kid makes some bad decisions, and you go from, oh Lord, the Lord is good, the Lord is great, he's wonderful, to, oh, poor me, poor me. Everyone look at what's going on in my life. And I want us to sort of grow past that. Now, some trials, I'm not trying to minimize your trial, because I understand that there are some that are debilitating. I understand that. And we're going to talk about Job today and the debilitating trials that are in his life. But I just want you to change your perspective on them. James 1:2 tells us, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Consider it all joy. Now James is talking like this, in this sort of, he has this perspective because he's been through some trials. He gets it. And he's also come through some trials, severe trials. And he understands that you can consider it joy because trials produce something, okay? You're not trialing for the sake of a trial. You are trialing for the sake of endurance. It will produce something positive from it. James 1:12 says this, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, once he's persevered, once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them who love him. I love this. Not only are we going to get endurance, James 1:12 says, if you persevere, whatever it is, under the weight of the trial, you will receive, not only will you receive endurance, like it says, you will also receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So if you are going through something severe today, understand, you, if you overcome, if you don't, if you, you're not held back, if you don't fall away from the faith, if you don't fall away from the understanding that the Lord is good, it will also produce a crown of life. For those of you that have just tuned in today, we are talking about trials and the significance of trials. And definitely don't want anyone to think that, you know, I'm looking at trials in a very light manner, because they are severe. But who we are pulling from today, the text that we are pulling from today, James, who understood trial and understood that he could come through trial, and it would be a benefit to him. He knows the severity of championing a trial. We're also going to move to Job here in a second. Trial not only produces character traits, it also produces reward. Now, I get this a lot, you know, when people are going through some sort of a trial, people think, they believe, you know, God is mad at me. God has got something against me. God is out to get me, if you will. And I hear this a lot, and I want them to sort of understand that a trial is not the same thing as a consequence. Okay. And even in a consequence, God is not out to get you. God wants you to come to a better knowledge of him. Okay. But a trial and a consequence for sin are two totally different things. There's a difference between God allowing consequences for sin in your life and him allowing trials. A consequence is a result of an unrepentant heart and in a repetitious sin. If you're experiencing hardship today and you know you got something going on that you don't need to be dealing with, you need to repent. You need to get right with the Lord. A trial is allowed to purify us in our faith and to grow us in the Lord. I love this passage in 1 Peter 6:7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by trials, so that the proof of faith, being more precious than gold is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's saying, if you've been tested, rejoice, greatly rejoice. Because if you've come through them, that is a proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold. Strengthening our faith is something more precious than gold. Let me ask you today, what do you desire? Do you desire gold, or do you desire strengthening your faith? In God's mind, man, that is so precious. Whatever you're going through today, understand the trial is wanting you to go deeper with Christ. We're going to flip over to Job here. I've often been so deeply encouraged by Job and his story in the scriptures. Job is one of those guys where you just kind of look at and you're thinking, man, God really, really sort of put him through the ringer. And you know what? God did that, I believe, for us today who are dealing with some sort of severe hardship, to encourage us that, listen, there is the possibility for blessing after trial. And some of us are so, so blessed, and God sees us as righteous that he actually allows trials to come into our life. Job 1:3 says this: there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep. Dude had a lot of sheep. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all men in the East. I love that God says that he was the greatest of all men in the East. And God does something absolutely crazy. You drop down to verse 7, it says, Satan was clearly has access to God. And in verse 7, the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless, an upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord. So here is, if you're tuning in with us right now, we're talking about trials today, and this is a great time for you to tune in. The Lord is telling Satan, listen, you've just come from going to and fro the earth. Listen, have you considered my servant Job. And he literally takes Job, his blameless and upright servant, and says, hey, have you considered testing him? Have you considered that? And I don't love Satan's response, but this is what Satan's response. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But God, you know, God, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But God, if you put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, he will surely curse you to your face, saying, oh yeah, you've given him all of this blessing, but you put forth your hand, he's totally going to reject you. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to pick up just a couple of things. Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge of protection around him and his house and all that he has on every side? Meaning, of course, Job is blameless. Of course, God, Job is upright. You have blessed him. You've blessed everything that he's touched. You've blessed everything. But let me tell you something, God. I could just hear the conversation going on in heaven. Let me tell you something, God. You bring a trial on him, and he is so going to reject you. I guarantee it. You can hear the conversation in heaven. This is where we get this term hedge of protection. I know that's kind of a little bit Christianese, hedge of protection. Well, this is where it comes from. But God went back to him and said, verse 12, then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you, and let me just encourage you. Sometimes it is petrifying that Satan can't have access to us. However, trials are limited by a God who knows your limits. God knew. He was reading Job's heart. He knew what Job could handle and what he couldn't. And when he removed the hedge of protection, he only removed it to a point where he knew it wouldn't crush Job. Now, would it be hard? Yes, because what happens? He loses, let me just set it up for you. You know, he loses all of his oxen. He loses all of his possessions. All of his children were killed. So many things immediately happened, literally boom, 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 boom. Read the text for yourself. So many things happened, boom, 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 right after another. He lost literally everything. However, God was reading Job's heart, and he knew it's not about the stuff. It's not about the circumstances. It's about Job's heart. So saying, I'm going to let you test him. I'm going to let you try him because I am reading his heart. You can't touch his head. You can't take his life, but you can test him because I'm reading his heart. Your trial has limits today. And I want you today to understand you don't have to fight the temptation to give up under the trial. Job never gave up. That's one of the things that I absolutely love about Job. Although everything he has was taken away from him except for his life. He was even ridiculed by his friends, those of you that know the story. He did not give up. He pressed into the Lord. Now there was a couple times where he was a little shaky. You can read the book for yourself. But he championed in the end the trial, which set him up for blessing. What are you dealing with today? Are you at a point where you've lost absolutely everything? Are you at a point where you feel like you are just like Paul says, you are pressed on every side? Well, guess what? Job was pressed on every side too. And he dug his heels in, and he did, even when he was told to forsake God by his wife, he dug his heels in and he didn't do it. Covered in boils. He didn't do it. And because of that, God was able to bless him, champion a trial, positions you for blessing. Job 42:10 says this, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had. I want you today to press on toward the mark of God. He is there for you in the midst of a trial. Thank you for listening today. I cannot wait to talk to you tomorrow.